The Olympics, a proving ground for Milwaukee Bucks stars.
But there's nothing like being selected to the Olympic team.
Representing your country and showing the world what you can do.
Championship of that level, gold medal, means more because of what you went through to get it.
Inspiring millions in the pursuit of gold and glory. Where losing isn't an option and winning is all that matters.
This moment will be something that I'll always be able to cherish.
I'm Lisa Byington, and you're listening to Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. This is Episode 3, Bucks in Beijing.
We knew from leaving there in 2000 that the next time, the next Olympics, there's a very good chance that the U.S. would have an opportunity. We could be upset. And so it wasn't surprising at all to see that. I think everyone within USA basketball knew that that moment could happen.
Milwaukee Bucks assistant coach Vin Baker, who played for Team USA in the 2000 Sydney Olympics, sensed the U.S. could be vulnerable in international competition moving forward.
From the bigger picture, it's like, oh, we're sending him, we're sending him. This is a no-brainer. But if you really pay attention, if you were really paying attention to European basketball and U.S. basketball and the talent that was coming in Europe, you knew that that gap was not only closing, but there was a chance that the Europeans caught up, and that's what happened in 04.
After a shocking upset led to Team USA finishing with a bronze medal in the 2004 Athens Olympics, the world wondered whether the team would ever return to glory.
They had two bad campaigns back-to-back, 04 and 06, so 04 Olympics and then 06 World Cup, where they didn't win the gold medal. And for them, it was kind of embarrassing for them because they are supposed to be the basketball pinnacle of the world. And they, I'd say they took it seriously, you know, 04 and 06, but they didn't. You know, they just kind of threw a team together last minute. Larry Brown was the coach. We'll be okay. Let's go. We'll be fine. And I think then those two campaigns made Team USA realize that the world has kind of caught up.
Former first overall pick for the Milwaukee Bucks, Andrew Bogut, has competed in three Olympic Games representing his native Australia. Even then, he understood that change was coming for Team USA.
Teams like Argentina and these kind of teams have been together for so long. They play good team basketball. The FIBA rules are a little bit different. It's refereed a little bit different. It's a different kind of flow and tempo of a game than it is in the NBA. So, you know, Team USA did the smart thing and they appointed some people up top to kind of actually have a strategy around who they're going to select in their squad instead of, you know, historically it was like, who wants to play for Team USA? Okay, you're in kind of thing. Who wants to give up their offseason? And now that it was making it more prestigious, like you'll be invited and we're going to have players that complement each other. And they put together a team that, you know, it had physicality, it had size, it had strength, it had shooting. And it all just fit well together. And, you know, credit to them, they adjusted and made sure that that wouldn't continue to happen.
A new regime led by director of USA basketball Jerry Colangelo and head coach Mike Krzyzewski was tasked with rebuilding Team USA.
Jerry Colangelo was key in forming that team. And he was so impressed with Michael coming to the interview at the Palmer House in Chicago when he was starting to form the team.
Longtime Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Charles Gardner, recalled that Milwaukee Bucks star Michael Redd was an important addition to Team USA.
Michael showed up in a suit and, you know, this totally impressed Jerry. It made a big impression on him. And he said, wow, okay, this guy is serious. He wants to be on the team.
In a press conference announcing the Team USA roster, Jerry Colangelo spoke about what Redd brought to the team.
Michael Redd, being a shooter coming off the bench, shooting is a big thing in the international game because there's so many zones that you have to face. And so we're prepared in that sense. We believe overall in terms of our scoring and our shooting ability.
Speaking with reporters, Michael Redd expressed his enthusiasm for joining Team USA.
It's fun, man. It's fun to be recognized like that. So, I mean, obviously they have a lot of confidence in me. I played well last year, shot the ball well. Once again, there's no pressure, man. It's just about having fun and playing for your country. That's fun to me.
Yeah, I got a call from the president of the USA program, basketball program, Jerry Colangelo.
Michael Redd.
And there was a pool of players that they were looking to pull from. And the thought process was to be able to have a three-year journey in this process. And I was happy to be selected to be a part of the pool. And Jerry and I had a conversation in Chicago about the opportunity. And then he officially invited me to be on the team. And it was like a dream come true. It was an amazing, amazing invite. And I'll never forget that particular moment with Jerry Colangelo. But at the time, the U.S. team needed shooting. And at the time, I was touted one of the best shooters in the world at the time. And had the privilege of actually being a part of that team and playing a role that we needed to be fulfilled. And so I just couldn't believe that I got the invite and jumped on it as fast as possible.
But first, the U.S. would have to qualify for the 2008 Olympic Games in Beijing. And that meant winning the 2007 FIBA's Americas Championship.
I think that was an unknown. They usually had an automatic spot in the Olympics. Now they had to qualify after what happened in 2004. And that was very important. And Michael Redd played a big role in that FIBA Americas, averaging 14 points a game and really giving them some outside shooting. And that was, I was there in Las Vegas for that tournament, and the players were serious about that. This was no joke. They wanted to be back in 2008. They did, you know, post an undefeated record and qualified for the Olympics. Michael was instrumental in setting up the team to go to Beijing. He was, just a key cog for the U.S. team. And one of the weaknesses had been the outside shooting that plagued the team in Athens in 04 and again in 06 in the World Championships. So he was tremendous hitting those outside shots. And that's why Jerry Colangelo brought him in. He wasn't the biggest name. He was a second round draft pick. Some people might have said, well, why is he on the team? But Jerry Colangelo, who was responsible for getting the U.S. back to their standard, took that very seriously.
For the Bucks, Team USA qualifying in 2007 meant teammates Andrew Bogut and Michael Redd would become competitors as they both represented their respective countries in the Beijing Olympics.
I came into the NBA. Michael Redd was kind of transitioning from kind of a role player back up to a superstar. And he was a veteran when I came in, so he definitely was integral in my first couple of seasons in the NBA. And then he obviously went on to play for Team USA as one of their shooters. So, we got a little giggle. There was a few other guys, I think, at the 06 World Cup as well. I think Ersan Ilyasova and a few other guys. So there's been a lot of crossovers with Milwaukee Bucks players and playing against each other and whatnot.
It was great. Actually, we spent time together over in Shanghai, actually, and just had a wonderful time with him. And we both were in awe of the moment, and we had a great time just sharing, you know, each side's approach to the Olympics. And obviously, us being as teammates, it made it all the more wonderful.
When it came to playing for his national team, the Bucks always knew it was a priority for Andrew Bogut.
The conversations with Milwaukee were pretty positive. I mean, they knew I was passionate about playing for my national team. I played in Japan in 2006 in the World Cup as well, and then played in 2004. So they knew that I was always passionate about coming home to Australia every offseason and representing my national teams.
As senior reporter for The Athletic, Eric Nain explains, it was an exciting time for Bucks fans to see their stars on the world's biggest stage.
It's kind of crazy to think, one, back to that time and the fact that the Bucks have two guys like that. And I think with Bogut, it was just such a fun time where you're imagining anything being possible for him, right? Like, he's the number one pick at Utah. You know, he's throwing cool passes. He's dominating the games. And you're starting to see some of that come to the NBA. You're starting to see him start to figure some of those things out. It wasn't perfect at the start, but, you know, he started to figure some of those things out and, you know, sort of started to transform himself into one of the best defensive players in the league and really start to just, you know, kind of go out there and, like, not necessarily dominate games, but he is having a real impact on games. And then with Michael Redd, I mean, you're looking at a 20-point-per-game score, and you're kind of hoping, like, all right, maybe they can put this all together.
Whenever you play for your national team, your team's fans usually will support you as their second favorite. Obviously, the U.S. is most of their favorites, but I think they obviously will follow you. And not only that, just to see how you're playing, like see what kind of shape you're in, see if you're doing different things, and then, oh man, they're going to come back with something different for the NBA season. So I think the Milwaukee Bucks fans are really good at supporting the Australian national team as kind of their second favorite team when we were in tournaments.
Bucks fans were extremely supportive. And so it was, again, a time where Bucks fans were looking to cheer for something beyond just the Bucks, and everyone rallies around the Olympic team during that time of the year, and all the fans really rallied, and you had Lakers fans and Cleveland Cavaliers fans, and all the fans kind of merged together to back this team up because the world had caught up, and it was not a guarantee that we would win that gold medal as it was in years past. So Bucks fans were incredibly supportive during that time.
But even for some of the NBA's best players, Olympic basketball was an adjustment.
Yeah, I think international basketball is much different, so you kind of have to adapt. And it took me a game or two to kind of adapt to just the differences in the game. And there's numerous differences. I mean, the spacing is not as vast as it is in the NBA. And the physicality is a bit different. The way they referee the game is much different. There's not as much superstar calls and all that kind of stuff. So you got to really adjust on the fly. And I think it usually takes, you know, NBA players a game or two to figure out, you know, how the game's refed until you can get in a rhythm with how the referees are seeing things. So it definitely is an adjustment, but you know, like I said, professional athletes, we adapt quickly to different circumstances, and it might take you a game or two, but you're going to end up figuring it out.
Well, I think it starts with humility, right? You have to understand that you're part of something bigger than yourself. And so we all were able to adapt to the different skill sets and different gifts that we all respectively had. So, yeah, there was an adaptation for sure to be on that team. There was not much needed for me as far as the typical need that it was with the Bucks. Same thing for Kobe, same thing with LeBron, same thing with Tayshaun Prince. You know, we were all specifically gifted at doing what we do best, but just different because we're part of a bigger opportunity.
More on Behind the Bucks coming up after this.
Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. Trust is the foundation of any successful partnership, especially when it comes to managing risk and planning your future. That's why businesses turn to Gallagher. With over 95 years of experience, Gallagher has the expertise to help businesses navigate complex challenges and seize new opportunities. As a proud partner of the Milwaukee Bucks, Gallagher is dedicated to building confidence together. To learn more, visit AJG.com. Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and H&R Benefits consultant.
The changes in the international game did allow Andrew Bogut to showcase a skill he didn't get to work on much in the NBA.
Yeah, look, I never really shot threes in the NBA. Some of it was never really put in that position. The other one was just the confidence to consistently do it. It was never something I looked at. Back in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, it was fours and fives roamed around the paint, and that's just the way it was. There was very few fours and fives that would step out and shoot threes. So it starts to become more prevalent as time goes on. But with the national team, you know, I felt comfortable. I had numerous games where I shot the ball pretty well from three. And I think that tournament, yeah, I think I was in the, you know, I think it was 40s or 50s that ended up being, maybe it is 60s. I'm not sure. But I know I had, you know, the Russia game and the Lithuania game were the two games that I really shot the ball well from three and made some big shots. But yeah, it's just interesting. You know, like I said, with national team, it's kind of a bit of a different game. It's a little bit of a shorter three as well, which helps. So, but yeah, that all kind of went out the window later on in my career.
Downtime between games allowed players to immerse themselves in the Olympic experience and get closer to their teammates.
It's always fun. The Olympics is always a different experience, especially for us. You know, we stay in the village and get to see all the world-class athletes walking around us in different sports, and you see a lot of different specimen and athletes and physiques, and it's the world's best athletes in any given sport, and you see all kinds of shapes and sizes, from, you know, weightlifters to little gymnasts to big basketball players to, you know, skinny marathon runners. It's kind of a mixed bag, and you just get to rub shoulders with numerous different people. And, you know, I think we had Nadal, Roger Federer was in there, you know, all these kinds of people. Phelps was rolling around, I think, you know, 8 still. So you have a lot of different range of athletes. So it's kind of a pretty cool experience just to see everyone kind of in one little area. But it does run like a little city. It's very busy. There's a lot going on. You know, the dining hall's like the size of a, you know, almost a little basketball stadium with the amount of food they got going through there. So it makes things very interesting.
There's one story in particular I think about.
Eric Name.
Chris Bosh had this, I guess it would have been back in the day when Chris Bosh was like blogging as we were all figuring out what the internet was. But he was sharing, you know, anecdotes and stories from, you know, different times in his career. And he said one of the things he remembers in the 2008 Olympics is, you know, one of the ways that you're going to have team building is the team is obviously going to practice together. They'll have a training camp together and they'll do all those things. But then, you know, once you get to the Olympics, there's the Olympic Village, and, you know, they'll do all these things that they can do to, you know, entertain you and make it better for the athletes that are competing and staying in the Olympic Village. And Bosch told this story about how there was a Papa Shot machine, and like, so they did, like, they built out like an arcade type of thing, and there's a Papa Shot machine, and, you know, everyone was getting ready to leave Olympic Village and go out for dinner and do all this stuff. And it was Kobe and it was Michael Redd. And Michael Redd and Kobe are sitting there and, you know, they start playing Pop Shot, obviously. Michael Redd with the left hand, Kobe with his right, and they're playing Pop Shot. And, you know, they play a couple games and Bosch is like, all right, well, I got to go to dinner. So he leaves. And the way he tells the story, he gets back from dinner and it's Michael Redd and Kobe still playing Papa Shot, like full sweat, like sweating through like their clothes, like what they had on, just sweat pouring down their face. And they've been playing Papa Shot against each other, conceivably, for hours.
Kobe was very, very, very masterful at helping set the tone of the culture. We were just about the same age. He's a year older than me. We both had tremendous respect for each other's games. And we were like the elder statesmen on the team, along with Jason Kidd. And so quite naturally, we would want to hang out more. So, but I had great relationships with all of them. We did some really cool things together off the court. We had dinners together. We had lunches together. And again, it was important for all of us to be together so we can develop a cohesion. So by the time that we get into challenging moments at the Olympics, we can rely on each other and trust each other.
After both Team USA and Australia made it out of their respective groups, a looming matchup between the two teams had the underdog Australians searching for a way to get an advantage.
Yeah, of course, when you play against someone that you're with on a daily basis in the NBA or with your club team, you give input. It's, you know, completely normal. You know, there's a bunch of guys on our team that had played in Europe and that knew other guys that I'd never heard of or played with or played against. And you want to use as much of that intel you can get. You know, there's no one better than to give a scout than a former teammate. So we had numerous guys that played in Europe, numerous guys that played all over the world in the NBA. And when, you know, coach would come to you and try to put a scout together, you know, give your honest opinion on things. And then they obviously study a bunch of film. But, you know, you also need to be careful because, like I said, a lot of players' roles change. You know, there's guys that play in the NBA that average 2 points a game. They go to their national team, they average 20. You know, it's just it's a different ball game. So it does change a little bit, but it's more tendencies. Which hand do they like to get to, and what do they like to do here? Where do they like to get? What spots on the floor do they like to get to shoot? How are they defensively? Where do they struggle defensively? So it's those kinds of things, the small little things where you can try to gain an advantage with your scout. The scout for Michael Redd is pretty simple. I don't think we needed too much information. It was don't let him shoot open threes. So, you know, that was his role with the USA team. It wasn't too complicated. He wasn't a heavy ball handler for them. He wasn't a playmaker for them. His role was to come into games, and if he's at the three-point line, you make sure you run him off. Yeah, I mean, just interesting to see that, you know, two guys from Milwaukee ended up being, you know, playing against each other in the quarterfinals.
In the quarterfinal knockout stage, the Bucks teammates went head-to-head in Beijing.
Of course, they played in the quarterfinals, and unfortunately, Andrew suffered an ankle injury in that game. Kobe led the U.S. to 116-85 victory. It wasn't a particularly close game.
We got smacked out in that game by 30 or 40 points. I remember I got hurt, I think, in the first half or start of the second half and couldn't play the rest of the game. My ankle blew up like a balloon. Realistically, did we have a chance to be first in 08? No way. Going into that tournament, we had no, being honest, there was no real belief that we could do that. A goal for us was, like I said, make the top eight. And then if you get lucky, maybe you get in the top four. But whereas where the national team is today and in 16 and 20, we actually had a genuine belief that we could win it with the talent that we had. We just didn't have kind of the roster and the longevity in 04 and 08, even 12. To try and really compete. You know, you need a lot of luck to get there with those kind of rosters.
For both Red and Bogut, the support they received from Bucks fans resonated far beyond their time in Beijing.
I have an incredible love affair with the Bucks fans, and after being there for 11 years, it was one of the highlights of my life, actually being there and representing that franchise.
The biggest thing for me, where it's an emotional place for me, is I went from a boy to a man in that city, so it'll always have a very special part of my life. I came as a guy that couldn't grow a hair on his chin to a man, and it, you know, some of it was hard, some of it was good, some of it was bad. There were good times, bad times, but I remember coming in as a kind of a wide-eyed young guy that didn't know any better and growing into a man. And that's why it'll always be special for me, no matter what people say. And I enjoyed it. I will enjoy visiting again one day and coming back and seeing people. But it'll always have that special place in my heart. This is outside of basketball, outside of anything. Bought my first home there. I remember buying my first house up in Mequon. Brand new home that just got built, was loving it, you know, lived out kind of out in the suburbs, you know, and was really part of the community out there and whatnot. And that was what was special to me. And when I circled back, my now wife and I had so many good times down there of just being kind of isolated in our little bubble and enjoying being in that city. It'll always have a special place in my heart, for sure.
I'm Lisa Byington, and here's what to expect on the next Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher.
Destiny, like it was, it's here. Like there's nothing that's going to stop us from achieving what we've come to achieve. And that's not being cocky. It's just we're here. The old saying is, you don't win the silver, you lose the gold. That's what our mindset was.
This has been a Bucks Plus audio production.